Gotcha.
Well, anyway, I know that I got a note from Peter Troutman on the Cape. He said he was going to be calling in at some point, but since we've got you and it's you got the you're the the lone caller at the moment, Butch. It's all yours. I'm,
oh boy!
Yeah,
get to ask lots of good questions then. I won't feel like I'm monopolizing the conversation then.
Well, monopolize away.
Listen to the tape. Rufus was very interested in what you guys are doing. How did you get involved in this?
I stumbled on it. There's a friend of mine on the Outer Banks here that has a Ben Franklin store, and he started using some of the kids from England probably 6 years ago. He may have been one of the first ones down here to do that. And of course, he was using them because they spoke our language. The language barrier was not a problem. They could do the cash register for him, and he's got like six cashiers, you know, going in that Ben Franklin store in the summertime. He's just very busy. So he and I, over the winter, had gotten together a couple of times, and he was telling me about it. So it took me a few years to catch on. This will be my third year coming up that we have used them. But the first year, I just got in touch with the BUNAC people and told them I was interested. And they sent me a form and asked me questions about what jobs I had available and how many I had and what kind of hours they would be and what you would pay. And then they want to know if you provide any food for them, and if so, what kind of cost, if you provide housing, and if so, what kind of cost. And then they want to know what's near you. You know, can the kids get around pretty easy? And in our situation, we've got the beach right across the street, and we've got 30 discount stores on the other side of us, and there's a grocery store within walking distance. They don't have to have a vehicle to work for us, so that's the enticement there. And from what these kids tell me, they just sort of, they go through this book, and they say, well, here's the United States. I think I'd like to be here, North Carolina. Let's see what they have to offer. And then they just start going through the jobs, and that's how they find them.
Are most of them during summer months?
Yes, but if you get in touch with BUNAC, if you need them for other seasons, you just have to tell them when you're looking for somebody. Because as I understand it now, Australia and New Zealand are opposite of us, so they have a summer break in our winter. And that's when some of those kids want to come over here. So, you know, if you're looking for somebody in that time period. But most of them that I dealt with came in May and June and stayed until September and October.
So you're looking at a 3 to 4 month period, and that's it with them?
That's it. That's exactly right. Now, the BUNAC program, the kids from England like to come in like the 1st of June, mid-June, and they will work with you. They will guarantee you they'll work until Labor Day. Now, that 2 or 3 days after Labor Day, they go on their little tour of whatever part of the United States they wanted to see, and then they go back home. So they've got like 2 weeks, and they need to be back home because their school starts mid to third week of September. Now, the kids from Central Europe, Bulgaria and Belarus and some of those places evidently do not start until sometime in October, because most all of those stayed until the 25th of September, that third week of September.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had three or four that stayed a little bit longer. But there, the Central America kids, Czech Republic kids were real good workers, but that Central America group comes
Central
the 1st
Europe
of June. And they'll stay until in the end of September.
Okay. Is cost involved?
None. It's just like if I were to come knocking on your door asking for a job. And that's the same thing with them. The only thing that they ask you is if you can kind of look out for them and help them find a place to stay. Now, you're not required to do that, but it certainly makes you look a whole lot better to somebody sitting over in Czech Republic looking at your place, and you have written on there that you have a house with two bedrooms and it's 5 miles from the restaurant or whatever. You know, if they know they've got a place to go to, they feel a little bit more secure about you.
So so it's a wise idea to go ahead and provide housing.
Yes. Yes. Now, I don't know what the housing market is in your area. It may not be as tough to find a place. But we're in a resort area, and in the summertime, there is just literally nothing down here. And we've been fortunate in that just over the years, we had a we had some houses that were right near the restaurant that we had. So we used to rent them on a year-round basis, mm-hmm. but not anymore. We rent them, have them just for those 4 months.
Transportation's an issue also then?
Yes, it is. We provided them with like four bicycles. And with those four bicycles, they would alternate between the group of them and go to the store, go to the banker, whatever it was they had to do. Now, my friend at the Ben Franklin store, because he has two stores and because he has houses that some of them which are away from the Ben Franklin store, he bought a car, an old car, and they just used that for transportation. But that's a, you know, that's kind of a thing, I don't know. My insurance agent says, no, don't do that. He says, you want to buy them a car, put it in their name.
That's
put
what
the insurance in their name. And if you get the car back, then that's great. If you don't, but, I mean, do not put it in your business name.
I could see where that would be a big issue.
That could be an issue.
Especially if they got out partying one weekend.
And they will do that from time to time. For the most part, they were pretty good. Now, another thing I saw with some of these kids, especially the ones that had been here the previous year and came back the second year,
mm-hmm.
that's like the first thing they did when they got here was they go out and buy this $1,500 automobile. And they drive it all summer, and at the end of the summer, they sell it for whatever they can get and roll on.
How big a group do you normally employ? How many do you normally employ?
We had about 30 this past year. But now, I only was responsible for about 12 of those. That is, I actually hired those through the Intrax or BUNAC and said, okay, I'll take this one and I'll be responsible for them kind of thing. The others that I had that we hired were kids that were down here working for, like, Food Line, which is a grocery store down the street.
Uh-huh.
And they must have seven or eight stores down here. And they just hired, oh, my land. I think the figure I heard was they hired 400 of these kids to come over and work in these different stores. Obviously, they overhired. So these kids that were thought they were going to be getting 40 and 45 hours were getting 28 and 32 hours. So they would come to us and say, you know, these are the hours I'm working at the grocery store. Can you give us some other hours? So we had some kids that were working their nighttime shift, which, you know, stocking the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
They'd go in at 11, 12 o'clock at night, work until 5 o'clock there, get off work at the grocery store and come to us and work the breakfast shift for us. So they're workers. I'll give them that.
They want to work then.
They want to, they're over here to work and make money, big time. And that's why you don't have as much partying with them as we do with our own kids. Because they know they're only over here for a certain length of time. And if they're not working, they're not making money. And they can't do this when they go back home. So their goal is to work and work as much as they can.
You mentioned that you were responsible for 12. What was involved in that responsibility? I mean,
simply dealing with BUNAC and the Intrax people and filling out the forms and telling them what I needed, what I was looking for, what kind of jobs I had available, and what we would pay and all that sort of stuff. And then I sent it in to them. They send me a resume from maybe 8 or 10 of them, and we pick 2 or 3 of them, you know, when you kind of go round and round like that. But they were the ones that were sent to me, and I went to the I'm 2 hours away from a airport, so we went and picked them up and brought them back down here and got them in their rooms and got them squared away and, you know, got them acclimated to what was going on. So that's what I mean by that. The others just kind of came to our door and and took a job, a second job with us. So,
Who's responsible for getting them here?
They're responsible for getting here.
Okay.
And as far as we, if we had the transportation, decent transportation down here, they would have ridden, they would have taken the bus and come all the way down.
Right.
As it was, like I say, we don't have any bus transportation to our area, so.
You just had somebody join us. Who's that?
Hi there, Bill. Peter Troutman here.
Oh, Peter, terrific. Got your email. Thanks for that.
Oh, good. Good, good.
Hi, Peter. This is Rufus. How are you?
Hi, Rufus. I'm doing very well.
And I
was very intrigued with the CD this past month.
Uh-huh.
This is something that we're heavily involved in as well with
uh-huh.
H-2B and J-1 visa holders. And I shared very much all your thoughts and experiences. We were of the same mind.
Great. So you have already hired some of these people?
We've been doing it for about 5 or 6 years. Our area is very similar to yours in that we're really dependent on these people to come and fill our needs because all the college kids in our area can leave the middle of August, and that is our peak season. They leave right at the peak.
Now, where are you, Peter?
We're in Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. You're playing the same game we are.
Oceanside community, you know, we're most of the kids that come here are kids in college in New England, Boston area, and all over New England, all over the United States. But they all come in one-way tables, too. We have a hard time getting people to wash dishes and do any of the kitchen prep work and that kind of thing. So
exactly.
We have a lot of Eastern Europeans that we use now. We started off with J-1 visa holders, these kids that were here, actually brought here by a lot of the hotels and inns first and foremost, and they were looking for second jobs. We picked them up as second jobs because they were mostly chambermaiding and cleaning during the daytime, and they would come here and wash dishes at night.
Uh-huh.
And then as our need grew, we hired more and more of them. The only problem we had with J-1 visa holders, which are these student visas that you talked about, are that they aren't really committed to you unless you offer them housing and you are the person housing them.
Mm-hmm.
They had come here working for the hotels, and they were more or less indentured to the hotels because they supplied their housing, so we played second fiddle.
Well, I had the same problem with the grocery stores down here. We picked up some of the best workers I had this summer worked at the grocery store.
Right.
And the grocery store kind of played a game with me. You know, they would work them hours, and then they found out they had a second job, and they changed their hours around a little bit. So I had to work around them. I had to work around the grocery store a little bit. But these guys were very good, and they were very committed to me. Some of my best ones were the ones that I got from the grocery store.
That's pretty much the same way it worked here, too. Until we actually started offering them housing ourselves, it was not easy.
Yeah.
The last couple of years, we got involved trying to get some of the ones that had been here prior years. They can only come 2 years in a row.
Uh-huh.
In a rare instance, they can come 3 years on these student visas that you're talking about. And we had a couple of Russian girls that were just wonderful, one in particular. And they were sisters. And she came back a third year. And she couldn't believe that she even got to come back a third time. We wanted her back a fourth. So we had to go through what's called the H-2B process, which basically approves the job for offering to a seasonal employee, and then you get approval for them in particular. That's the only person they can work for. They can't work for anybody but you.
How about that? Now, when you did that, is that something you had to go through an attorney to get help with?
You know, we did it through an attorney, but you don't have to use an attorney, but there's a lot of paperwork involved.
Well, I was going to say, I looked at that for one. I had the same situation, but it was so complicated. I was
lay people as well that will do it, and they do it similar to the other program where they charge the person that's going to end up getting the job. They usually go to really poverty-stricken areas like Sri Lanka and Thailand and areas and bring some really unusual cultures to your area. But they also go to Russia and the Eastern Bloc countries. And we had great luck getting these girls back for, I guess it was a third season. We got them back for a third. But then last year, after spending about $3,000 in legal fees and applications fees and an expediting fee, which the U.S. government decided to throw in our face at the last minute because of 9/11, We ended up getting turned down. These girls got turned down. With no reason. And they went to the American Embassy in Moscow, which is a 12-hour train ride away. And they were turned down with no reason given other than the fact that that they were a flight risk. And, you know, after coming here 3 years in a row, I didn't think the fourth they were going to decide not to go home. It's a costly process, but, you know, it's a risk, too. So we're going to go back to doing just what you're doing and back to the J-1 student kids. The only problem is they can only come, you know, up to 2 years.
Uh-huh.
So you don't want to invest too much time really training them. They've really got to be doing rudimentary things that don't require a lot of training.
Right.
That's where we really need to find a solution to some degree, is to get people, seasonal workers that come back year after year. And that's the only way it can be done, is with this type of H-2B process. But
yeah, because they're so much better the second year.
Oh,
it's
man.
Amazing to you how much they've learned.
Yeah, it's like college kids, you know, that you hire when they're 18 and they come back every year after college, and maybe a year after school when they graduate and don't have a career opportunity. You know, those are the best ones to have for 5 years running sometimes.
Yeah.
But it certainly has been a godsend in our area.
Oh, listen, I don't think we could make it in our area without them. I mean, I know we could.
Yeah. What is your shoulder season like in the fall?
Our spring is kind of soft, but our fall is strong. Our September is probably better than our June, to tell you the honest truth.
Just like here. That's
Depending on the weather and everything, it can be absolutely great. I mean, the fishing's good, and the golf is great, and the water's warm.
Upscale clientele probably, too.
Oh, yeah. They order from the left-hand side. It's
wonderful.
Yeah.
It's definitely the way to go. We purchased a house about a mile away and bicycles, and we have been housing them the last 2 years. This will be our third year coming up. This will be the first year that we will have it totally vacant and ready to be filled with students. And other times I had other year-round employees there taking up a bedroom. It's a three-bedroom house, so we can put a good six people in there anyway.
What are you charging these? What are you charging these kids to stay in a house?
Well, in the past, I didn't. It depended. The H-2B people, we had to pay them a prevailing wage, which was in the vicinity of the low nines, 9.21. They change it every year. It was $9.21 last year.
Wow.
And then you can charge them for the housing. The other kids, I just paid them a lower hourly rate and let them live there free as long as they were working 35 hours. I was only paying them $7 an hour. So essentially, it was like charging them $80 a week, because they normally have made about $9 an hour had they not had housing. I think technically you are supposed to do exactly what you had suggested, which is actually charge them a physical, have them physically give you the rent money separately. But you know, six and
well,
one half dozen of the other.
Yeah, whatever works.
The only issue we had was with food. They were constantly wanting to take food out of a restaurant. We feed, you know, feed our kitchen staff here anything they want, anytime they want it. And I think some of them decided that that meant they could take meals home with them, too, you know, so I got a little I had one guy, I had a horror show with one guy from Hungary the first year we did this, that, oh, man, he wanted to play every angle. And this guy, I think, came from money, but he wanted you to think that he was a pauper. But, boy, he was taking food out of here. He had a girlfriend living in the house with him. He was taking food home to her, and then he started working another job and yanking us around, and I finally said, look, I think it's time for you to go. So, but he was the only negative experience we've had. Have you had, I know you mentioned on the CD that you'd had a couple of problems, but have you had any horror shows?
No horror shows.
No
horror shows. The only thing, and I can't remember if we talked about this on the CD or not, but I had a couple at the beginning of the season that it just wasn't going to work. I mean, you know, this is, they come in, and like you say, even the ones, some of them from the international students want to come in and just go to the front of the house and wait tables and seats,
right.
And they can't do that. And so you've got them in a job in the kitchen, and these two girls, it just wasn't going to work. So
yeah.
These are ones that I went and picked up and brought down and had rooms in the house for them and the whole nine yards. It just wasn't going to work, and we just said, hey, guys, this isn't going to fly. And they said, well, we're going to find another job.
Huh.
So they just packed up their stuff and walked out. I don't know how I mean, I think I would find it hard to do the same thing in their country, but they just packed up their stuff and were gone.
Scary.
And I later saw them, you know, during the summer, so they did find work and a place to stay. The job's not the hard thing. The place to stay is what's so hard.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing that keeps them, because otherwise they'll leave you for a quarter, and we pay pretty well in our area, considering the housing. But I could see where they would just, you know, leave for, you know, a nickel here and a nickel there. That's why I'm adamant, too, about they all want a second job. And, you know, you wonder if you want to get into paying time and a half. I mean, in our state, obviously, you have to pay time and a half after 40 hours, too. So, you know, if you're paying them $8 an hour and that goes to 12, it gets a little steep, especially when it's their 40th hour and they start to drag a little bit.
Uh-huh.
As hard at workers as they are, everybody drags after a little after 40.
Yeah.
But where do you house them? Have you purchased a house?
Well, we had a duplex that was behind the restaurant that has two bedrooms on each side, and there's another house, two houses that are right beside that one that we purchased many years ago, that each unit has two bedrooms, so there's upstairs, downstairs, and there's a house behind it. So we've got like 10 bedrooms right here within walking distance.
Wow.
And the, you know, one of the places will sleep, it certainly will sleep the four people in a two bedroom, but you can actually sleep about seven in the place. It's just kind of a big place. So.
Now, just out of curiosity, what would you say is the real estate value of this housing that you have if you were to sell the housing off?
That's not fair.
That's
not a fair question, because the real estate values have gone nuts down here.
Well, they have here too. 20% in the last year or so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this house the house and lot. Let's see. The lots alone are selling for $200,000.
Wow.
That are on the west side of what we call the beach road. If you cross the beach road, you're going. The next step is the ocean, of course. But
this house that you have them living in, it would sell for. What?
The houses are old. I mean, I would say the price of the property, the $200,000.
Hmm.
And see, they're building houses on these similar lots right down the street. They're building these 6 and 8 bedroom places.
Yeah.
And then they're selling those for like $480,000.
Wow.
I think is a figure I heard, with a 8 bedroom house on a similar lot. But it's just incredible. I mean, these are lots that were not, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, were like $25,000,
$30,000.
Right. And I thought that was too high.
We're in an area that's heavily zoned, and there is just no cheap housing anywhere. And you know, the house that we bought 2 years ago for $165,000,
wow,
and haven't done a thing to it, could easily be sold for $230,000 or $250,000 now. And that's really where I look and say, what am I doing, man? I'm spending, you know, all this money to house these kids, and if I just took that money and paid, you know, kids locally another $4 an hour, which is probably about what it comes out to, would they stay? And it's a $20,000 question. No,
yeah, but they're still going to leave you in
exactly.
Mid-August.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I had them leaving this year July the 31st. That's about as early as I've ever had one to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what are you doing?
She said,
my goal was to make $1,000. I've made $1,000. See, I'm out of here.
Oh, my God.
So she wanted to go home and see her boyfriend as a ticket, I'm sure. But
yeah. My favorite is they come and tell you that my mother made doctor's appointments for me before I go back to college. I have to go to the dentist. They have to go back home. Well, Bill, you lived in this area. You know, it hasn't changed a whole lot.
No, the only thing that's changed is you can't. When I was there, you could still get a bunch of kids together and rent a place.
Yeah,
you put 20 people in it, and
yeah,
you know, a third of them are sleeping, a third of them are working, a third of them are partying at any given time.
Yeah, yeah. It still works that way, but it's pricey. It is pricey.
I mean, why would someone do that when they could rent it to a family for $2,000 a week?
Well, it's only the real rundown ones that you can still do that with.
Yeah,
it's true.
Well, if they weren't run down when you started, they certainly were by the time you were done.
Absolutely.
Well, Peter, speaking of that for a sec, now, the run down places, are you having people up there to buy those run down places, tear them down, and to build the
Yes, if they're in, yeah, absolutely. And not even just that, just first-time home buyers will snag them. You know, anything, there's nothing under $200,000. Absolutely nothing. Anywhere.
Wow.
Anywhere. Not even in the worst sections of town, which there are very few of. There's just nothing. If you open up the real estate page, there's absolutely nothing under $200,000. So,
gosh, that's frightening.
Yeah. I would be hard pressed to find another replacement for this place. Now, there's a local restaurateur a few miles from here that bought trailers, and there are a few trailer parks, probably five on the whole Cape. He bought old trailers, and that's where he houses them, in these trailer parks that are sort of grandfathered and tucked away in the dark corners of Cape Cod. But then transportation becomes an issue too.
Well, I was getting ready to say, how does he get them back and forth?
Yeah, well, it's within a good bike ride, and our house is about a mile, a little over a mile, 1.1, 1.2, from the restaurant. We just give them all bikes.
Yeah.
It's downhill the whole way to work, thankfully.
Yeah.
And uphill home, but thank God it's not the other way around. But you couldn't go any further than that.
Well, some of these kids are something else. I had one that rode a bicycle 8 miles over the bridge to come to work at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my gosh!
That's unbelievable what they would do.
Yeah. What nationality would you choose if you were to choose one that you find the hardest working and the most loyal? Or
my top one, I believe, is going to have to be Czech Republic. I just, knock on wood, they have, every one that I have gotten from Czech Republic has just been a great worker.
Yeah, we have.
Hard worker.
Yeah. Huh.
And I had some, I had two girls from Belarus.
Belarus, yeah. We had a lot of Belarusians.
Oh, my gosh. And yeah. The rest of the story on that is they worked two seasons with us, and this one girl just a gorgeous little girl. One of the guys who waited tables here a couple of years ago came in to eat back in June.
Uh-huh.
On November the 6th, I got an announcement that they were married.
Oh, honey.
So, you know, she's figured out how to stay in the United States.
Yeah.
But he got a doll baby there. She's a sweet girl and a hard worker. But Czech Republic would be my first choice.
Okay.
And I like the kids from England, but the only problem with the kids from England is they go back the day after Labor Day. They're like out of here.
Yeah, that's...
But they're so easy to work with because the language, there's no language barrier, and mm-hmm. and they were pretty good workers as well. But they leave so early, and September is such a tough month.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it is. It's the toughest here. There's no doubt about it. It's the same situation exactly.
Oh, yeah, you can't take your boxing gloves off just because it's after Labor Day. That's a hard month.
I wholeheartedly agree with your stance, too, that I, in past years, was corresponding to these kids. I get about 3 applications a day by email because of a couple of sites that we signed up to. One in Ireland, too. I get quite a few from Ireland that write here, but mostly from the Eastern Bloc countries like the Czech Republic and Slovakia, Hungary, Belarus, Lithuania, and I'm just not answering them anymore. I'm just working with the Work and Travel USA program out of New York. There's a gentleman there named Casey Slayman, who last year tossed us a couple of Polish kids to replace the Russians that got turned down.
Uh-huh.
These kids were just great, and I'm at this point, I think I'm just going to either stick with Russians, Slovakians, or Lithuanians.
Uh-huh.
And just try to keep the nationalities not too spread out so that they don't feel too isolated.
Well, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
I can relate to that because we had some from so many different places. That is interesting.
And we had a girl from Slovakia years ago who was very disappointed because she ended up working in the kitchen with, we have a local Brazilian community, and mostly of which are illegal, that everyone utilizes throughout the wintertime. But she was working with Brazilians and... what was the other national and Russians at the time, and she was extremely bummed out because a lot of them come here just to learn hone their English skills.
Right.
And she was really upset that all she was hearing was Portuguese and and Russian, and she wanted to learn English. So, they all have different reasons for coming here.
Have you used any of the international students from south of the equator, Brazil or Ecuador, any of those?
We have a huge Brazilian community here, and I don't think, I would not have guessed that you could even get a J-1 visa if you were from Brazil. I've never seen anyone from South America in our area that was not illegal. I mean, the Brazilian community here is absolutely huge. If I put an ad in the paper today for a dishwasher, I will have 10 applicants tomorrow, all of which are Brazilian, without any papers of any sort.
With no papers?
Nothing.
Wow.
And we've just started, you know, really trying to get tough about it. We put in recently in our ads, we put English skills required and green card required in our ad, and the local paper called me up and asked me why I had written that. Did I have a problem with applicants being illegal?
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, I don't have a problem with it, but I'm tired of saying, no, I don't have a job for you, you know. It's crazy. But, you know.
Did you find any of these kids, could they do more than just the prep work? Could you find any of them did you stumble on any of them that might could cook or anything like that?
Well, these two Russian girls, yeah, the one in particular that was, you know, learned quickly and was good. But, you know, I think it takes a while to get over the language barrier.
It does.
It's a new food. They have to know how things are supposed to taste. They prepare food differently. Even the Brazilians that we have had working for us, they like to cook the heck out of everything and spice the heck out of everything, too. You know, everything they eat, they cover with Tabasco. You cook a steak for them, they want it to burn going down. So it requires a lot of training.
Yeah. Well, I kind of found the same thing, too. Even cooking bacon, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't understand that.
Yeah. But it definitely serves a need, though. Our biggest thing would be finding somebody that you could train that would come back year after year. We were lucky enough this past year. We had lost a couple of people that had gone on to non-restaurant things after being here for 10 or 12 years and just couldn't stand any of the kitchen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Replacing them temporarily with a guy from Cincinnati, Ohio that someone had sort of sent here, and he's going to come back every summer because I guess their season slows down at the restaurant he works in, so they're just happy to have him leave for 2 months a year.
Oh, that's great.
So he worked out very well.
So how long have you been in the business?
15 years. Okay. Actually 16. Couple of months.
Okay.
Well, 16 in our own restaurant. I, of course, bus tables and waited tables and everything else for years and years. So.
Wow.
But. Now, you're a restaurant in the Carolinas?
In Naxhead, on the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
And how many do you seat?
We seat about 240.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's great. We only seat about 100. I wish we could. Seat closer to something.
Oh, later.
In the summer.
It's crazy sometimes.
And how long have you been there?
This is winding up my 20th season.
Wow. That's
unbelievable to me, too.
Wow.
And I never waited a table. I never bust a table because I didn't want to work on weekends. And I didn't want to have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God. Now, how many meal periods do you serve?
Oh, we serve three.
Three. Ah. Oh.
We open at 6 for breakfast and serve breakfast from 6 to 12, and we serve lunch from 11 to 2, and we serve dinner from 4:30 until 9.
Wow. Wow.
And so that tells you right there in a nutshell why we need all these people.
Oh, yeah.
In the summertime, we'll have, when it's at its height, we'll get up to about 108, like we did this year, 108 people on payroll.
Wow.
That's a lot of coordination. But, you know, the thing of it is, you were talking a minute ago about overtime. I had the least amount of overtime because of these kids.
Huh.
Because they were working a second job, or we were their second job.
Right.
And you couldn't get them, but, you know, four
did
days a week.
Time
or whatever.
And a half?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Heck, yeah.
Well, I found that they caught on to that quickly, too, that they knew that if you did need them, they would choose, they would choose to work the overtime for you rather than going to the second job.
Uh-huh.
That's where it gets difficult with the second job thing, too, is that, you start vying with somebody else down the street for somebody's time.
Yeah, you're right.
Whose schedule are you going to work around? But they're just logistics you have to deal with, you know. It's no fun, but sort of it's a small price to pay to have somebody that's going to be around a little while, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
We usually, too, in the fall, tend to promote them upward, meaning all we have, you know, American students working as bus people and wait people on the floor. And then as they go back to school, we take the Eastern European students that have pretty good language skills that we've learned and decided, you know, that they have some presence, and we allow them to then go out on the floor and work as bus people, host people, as the Americans go back to school. Then, of course, the next year when they come back, they want to do that all summer long. But
That's right. They do have to wait.
But that's the only way they really get out on the floor here. The English thing is, you know, it's just, it's so important at the door to be able to smile and greet someone and have them understood. And some of them, especially the Russian girls, it was tough getting them to smile.
Yeah.
At least to a stranger. You know, they'd smile with you behind the scenes, but when someone came in, they stood at attention like they were ready for inspection, you know.
Well, you're exactly right. And the couple of girls that I had that got to the front door, they're very pretty girls from Russia, but like you say, it was hard to get them. The communication thing is the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I go back to the ones from England. They are so good on the front door. And people love that accent.
They sure do. They sure do. Absolutely.
So I am, that's what I intend to do this year, is I'm going to go back to that, even though they leave me right after the Labor Day. I'm going to go back to them for the front door and
the front of the house, yeah.
And the cash register.
And then you do the same thing, bring the Eastern Europeans out.
They come out at the end of August and for the month of September.
Yeah.
And of course, we have a breakfast bar too, so the kids are back and forth. They're out front and all the time, you know, dealing. And they have to be able to talk to people too, because people say, "What is that?" And they, you know, I've got some of the Spanish that. They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know a word.
Huh. Have you had any issues with any of the nationalities conflicting with others? It's funny you mentioned the Belarusians. I know there was some, the Polish and the Belarusians in general didn't like each other, or some, maybe I'm confusing different nationalities, but I know we had issues with some of them not liking each other just because of their nationality, having prejudice. Any issues like that?
I don't recall. I really don't recall any problems at all like that.
The other one that comes to mind is there's two other local businesses, an ice cream store and a paper company that sells paper goods, like a almost like a small little Cisco wholesale business, and they serve the Cape exclusively with paper supplies, cups, and we've got a huge product line. But they went together and bought a duplex, and they each own half of it.
Uh-huh.
And the paper company brought in Jamaicans.
Huh.
And the ice cream store brought in Bulgarians.
Wow.
And they hated each other.
Uh-huh.
And they literally were, you know, coming to blows with each other at night. I guess the Jamaicans would play rap music, and they hated it, and it was a horror show, I guess.
I've heard of a few things like that with South Americans, of a sort of a pecking order of South American cultures, and the Nicaraguans won't work for the Ecuadorians.
Right.
Some of that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's just stuff from their homeland.
Yeah.
There are any kind of people that just sort of assume that they're in Rome and do as the Romans do and try to make do, but some of them really bring it and harbor some hostilities, I think. So.
I think, going back to that other question, I think my least favorite was were the kids from Ecuador.
Really?
Yes. I had four of those, and two of them worked out okay. The other two were just as nice as they could be, and they were good workers while they were here, but it was like they wouldn't show up when they were supposed to show up.
Huh.
And then they would come in at another day, you know, like nothing had happened.
Huh.
And you'd ask them, where were they the day before or whatever, and it was just, they just kind of blow you off. So, you know, I don't know. La La Land.
Yeah.
Butch, are you still on?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm listening and enjoying.
Okay, now I'm just wondering if this is all making sense to you. So.
Yes, it is.
Good, good.
Have you got some telephone numbers and such, Butch?
For to contact?
Yes.
No, I do not. You mean to contact me or to contact some of these groups?
Contact the BUNAC program or the NTRACS program.
No, I do not. I'd love to have those.
Now,
didn't that information was supposed to come out with the with the tape. Did that not happen?
No, sir.
I got it.
Oh, huh, okay.
You did get
tape.
It?
Hey,
Peter?
I got a tape.
Yeah, I got a flyer on it.
I didn't have a flyer with my tape.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Well,
I'm gonna be back. I'll be back on the next weekend. I'll kick my
Butch,
sister's
Butch, can
on
I give you the Intrax number right quick?
Sure.
1-888-224-0450.
Okay.
And that'll get you started with the Intrax. There's a BUNAC program, too.
When you say Intrax, is that inter-exchange?
Yes.
Okay.
Intrax Work
yep.
and Travel?
Yep, that's the one I use primarily, yep.
They're the ones that have the Eastern European. Then, now, Butch, the one for the English people is the BUNAC program,
uh-huh.
B-U-N-A-C. And that number is 203-264-0901.
Okay.
And that'll just give you a couple of numbers to get started with.
Which one of these uses the Australian New Zealand kits?
I would go with the Intrax.
Okay.
I mean, I would at least start with the Intrax people, and I think they can hook you up.
Have you actually had any Australian, New Zealand people in your area?
No, I have not. I was just my busy season is opposite of you guys.
Uh-huh.
My busy season is February through May.
Well, it would be great to staff with these people year round if you could. I mean, like I said, there are still positions, you know, in our kitchen that we're hard pressed to get anybody to do them. So that, you know, even though our peak season is summer, I could use one or two of them year round. And this house sits, you know, empty or rented to a staff member on a winter basis is a deal. We could easily house them still. So.
Well, that's interesting, you know, because I'm in the same situation you are with that. I've got this house sitting empty, and it would be nice.
The heck?
It would be nice to have an extra person.
Yeah. What you say that they're, you know, obviously their summer is opposite our winter. I wonder if they're apt to want to go someplace cold when they've got summer at home. Sort of like going someplace cold on spring break, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. Then,
do you know of...
Well, it doesn't cost you anything to find out, though, does it?
Do you?
No,
not at all. Not at all. Like I said, this Casey Slayman that I am in touch with at the InterExchange Work and Travel USA in New York has been more than helpful, and I think I'll just give him a call.
Well, you know, the guy that I have dealt with came down here several weeks ago. He was talking with the Walmart down here and the food lines, and we had some conversations. So when he was in here, I asked him about that, and he said that, I mean, that's where I got my information, Australia and New Zealand. And he said, if you're interested in that, just to let him know. So I don't know when exactly their summer season is over there, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it'd be worth a phone call to ask.
Absolutely. So you let this property sit empty all winter?
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
we used to rent this on a I used to rent them on a year-round basis. I had people in every single one of them. That's five units we had back there.
Yeah, do you factor that into what you're actually paying these people to get a real handle on your payroll cost?
No. I pay them. We start them out at $750, and as the season progresses, they will get up to $850 to $950,
I think,
the most that I had one paying. But and then we charge them $80 a week to stay in the house.
Okay.
But I do not, no.
You have them two to a room? Three to a room?
Two to a room and three to a room.
Mm-hmm.
So, and actually one of the rooms in the old house is they're big bedrooms. I was thinking about putting two bunk bed sets in each room. Because it's like all they want is a place to sleep and shower anyway.
Right.
But anyway.
What else do you need to know, Butch?
Nothing. Y'all have pretty much answered it. I was just curious about the program. You know, we have the same problems that you guys do as far as trying to staff things. I thought it was interesting to listen to the tape of Rufus, and it was, you know, that was something I would have never thought, probably would have never found here where we're at. And, you know, just the fact that it was mentioned, the Australian New Zealand kids, opposite season than winter and summer was very interesting to me, and I'm going to make a few phone calls and
you know, there again, it'd be great if we could find somebody to work with that could supply us kids year-round.
Well, I think, like Peter's saying, if you can find somebody that you can talk to on a one-on-one basis that might be able to help you out, and if you start out slow with just two or three of them and then go from there. But it's certainly been positive, and as you can tell from what we've said, it's helped us in our situations.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it's been a lifesaver for you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Peter, are you still on?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I heard sort of a clicky-click thing, and I didn't know if someone was coming or going.
No doubt these kids today do not want to work.
Yeah. We had a local editorial written in our paper recently, someone criticizing the business community for not paying higher wages, that would have solved the problem, that, you know, that people that resent the fact that they go into every restaurant in the area and hear languages from all over the world and wish it were an American that was waiting on them or serving them. And I know for a fact it wouldn't matter whether you doubled the wages, these kids are still going to go back to school. You know, it's not going to fill the jobs. And the ones that are here, they want to wait tables. They want to be in the nicer, cushier jobs, and they don't want to get the hands dirty.
Basically, they just want to pick up the tips sometimes.
Yeah.
Just give me the money and let me go home.
Send them to me.
Right.
I'm waiting for somebody to do that for me. But
me too. Oh, that would be great.
Well, listen, gang, I appreciate y'all taking the time.
This has been great. I appreciate everybody talking.
I don't want to cut it short, but if we got it done, everybody's got projects, so we'll
okay,
particularly this time of year.
It's great talking to you guys. Rufus, do you have a website, your restaurant?
TheDunesRestaurant.com.
Okay, I'll take a look.
How about you?
ScargoCafe.com. Take a look. Actually, we have pictures of all our staff, too, all the Eastern Europeans, and we take a picture of everybody. So, good talking to you guys.
You've got wait a minute, Peter. You've got the one that, you've got a, one of your tables, don't you?
Yeah.
Webcam.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, yes, I remember Bill talking about that. Yeah, I definitely want to go take a look at that.
That's a totally cool idea.
Yeah. It is. That is great.
I'm going to be on the Cape next weekend, by the way. I don't know if I'll be able to sneak over there or not, but I'm just in for a couple of days.
Okay, good.
But if I can
stop in and say hey,
make it by, I'll come in and beat you on the head for just my general principles.
Sounds good.
Hey, Peter, it was great to meet you over the phone here.
Okay,
well, didn't you guys meet at the summit?
We should have. Were you in Seattle?
Yes, I was.
Were you? Yeah, so was I.
Yeah.
We probably did.
Well, we probably met right there then.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever get to Nag's Head, it's definitely worth seeing what he's up to.
I'll get down there.
All right, y'all.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Thank you, gang.
Rufus,
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.